Well, as John said, welcome to Hoboken Grace, and this morning we've got an incredible morning laid out before us, and we're just going to dive right into it. Right now we're in the middle of a conversation called Personal, and if today's your first time with us, for the last 4 weeks we've been talking about just how personal this relationship that we have with God can be. And we've been talking about how each and every one of us, we desire to be known and we desire to be loved. And we've been talking about how this God that we serve, this God who created us, this God who brought everything into being, not only knows who we are, as we discovered in Psalm 139, knows everything about us, but he still loves us. And not only does he stay, not only does he continue to pursue us after knowing us, but he actually sent his son to bring us back to himself. And he invites us into this incredible, personal, loving relationship. And for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the depth of that. We've been looking at, okay, how do we begin to live that out in our life day by day by day? And how do we begin not only to experience God's love for us, but to begin to live in showing our love to him? And begin to ask the question, how can I possibly show God that I love him more and more and more? But for me, of everything that we have done throughout this series, today is by far the best. And I think probably for a lot of you, this will be the week that when you look back on this series, this is the day that you'll remember. Because the truth is, for me to stand up here and for me to walk you through this, it impacts our lives, and when we learn about what's true in our relationship with God, it impacts our lives. But the truth is, the real impact comes when you see that the people who are sitting right next to you are actually experiencing this every day. And so one of the things that we do over and over and over again here at Hoboken Grace is that we give you the chance to be able to hear the stories of the people sitting right next to you. And we give you the chance to be able to hear the stories, not only of what's true about God, but how it's actually working in people's lives. And so this morning, we've got a really special morning planned out, because you're going to get the chance to be able to hear the stories of three individuals who are a part of this community and a part of this family, and hear about how God is personally loving them and how this personal relationship with God is beginning to change their life and transform them from the inside out. And the other day, I was having a conversation with someone, and we were talking about what was true. And they said, you know, in my life, I know this is true, but I'm not necessarily experiencing it, but I want the people around me to experience it. And I said to myself, I almost shuddered inside myself, and I said, wow, that is really dangerous. And one of the things that we want to be true all the time here at Hoboken Grace is that not only are we talking about God, but we're actually experiencing God. And the truth is that if we walk through this series personal and we talk about how personal this relationship is, and I stand up here and I say, this can change your life. You're not going to believe what it's like when you step into this relationship and you look around you and you don't see it happening in anyone's life. And the truth is, we probably should have all just went to brunch this morning. We should all be down at Amanda's right now, which, by the way, is probably one of the best brunch places in Hoboken. They pay me to say that. But the truth is, if it's not changing lives, if people aren't experiencing this, and if it isn't doing what we say it can do, then we're just wasting our time. And so this morning, I want to give you the chance. And maybe for some of you, this is just maybe the first time you've even walked into a church. But this is specifically for you, and especially those of you who are searching. Because I want you to see that this isn't just an idea, but that this is real. And I can stand up here and I can share with you what God's word says, but I want you to see God. And I want you to see him as he's interacting with the lives of the people who are sitting right next to you. And to see that this God, who is so big, has come to love us. This God who had every right to demand our love. This God who had every right to force us to love him. decided instead to win our love. And this morning, I want you to see how that's playing out in several people's lives here inside of this community, inside of this church. And so if you guys would join me in welcoming Laura to the stage. And this morning is kind of an extra special day for Laura, because Laura is going to be one of those who's going to be taking the step of baptism here in just a short amount of time. Before she does that, I wanted to give her the chance to be able to share with you what God's been doing in her life and how this personal love has begun to transform and change her.
All right, well, I'd much rather sing this to you guys, but I don't think I'm allowed to do that, so I'll just go ahead and talk. So I grew up in Arkadelphia, Arkansas, in the middle of nowhere, and my parents decided early on that, you know, they wanted to let us kids decide how we were going to be raised religiously. So I wasn't really plugged into a church until I was about 12 or 13. When my friends invited me to church, and, you know, I kind of thought it was interesting, started, you know, trying to looking around, and I finally got plugged into a youth group at a Methodist church downtown in my hometown. And it was there that I started to play music for, you know, it was some higher power that I didn't exactly understand, but it was the first time I'd felt an emotional connection. So, you know, it was something I really wanted to look into and that I really wanted to keep going with. So I kind of made a promise about the age of 14 or 15 that this was something I really wanted to do. So then there's high school. I wasn't really a happy kid in high school, but then again, who is? You know, you're a teenager, so a lot of people aren't happy about that age. But I have a brother who's about 15 months older than me, and he was a year ahead of me in school, and it was just like I was the little sister, like the 3 years that we were in school together. And, you know, I was kind of overshadowed by my brother. He was a, you know, the perfectionist. He got grades, good grades in everything. He was smart. He was funny. He was popular, you know, just, and then I was kind of on the side over here, like, oh, hey guys, like, I'm Laura, not Adam's little brother, but I guess it was at that point that I didn't really feel that my friends and the people around me accepted me, and, you know, God probably didn't either. So I decided that, you know, I was gonna do things to the best of my ability. I was gonna be perfect. I went to college classes in high school. I practiced with the college swim team. Like, I just did everything I could to keep myself busy to try and better myself. And I guess it was, they always tell you that you don't really know what you have until you hit rock bottom. And the first time I think that happened was my senior year in high school. And if any of you guys know me, I'm on the swim team, and that is my life. Like, I spend 20 plus hours a week swimming. Like, that's all I do. So, and it was something that was really important to me. So that fell apart my senior year. My coach left. I got slower. It was the first state meet. I didn't finish. I went home in the middle of it, and I just spent days crying. Like, my world was falling apart. My two best friends had left me for boys. Of course. People I spent all my time with, they got boyfriends. They're like, okay, see you, Laura. So that kind of affected my decision that, you know, I came here instead of staying in Arkansas. But so I think it was that point that whatever I had with the relationship with God was gone. I left him completely. I was like, you know what? I'm being punished for something I don't even know that I did. That's how I looked at it. I thought I was being punished. So I didn't go to church the first 2 years of college that I came here, go to Stevens, and it was, the first 2 years were a disaster for me. Now, you know, freshmen coming in, they make some stupid mistakes that, you know, you get exposed to parties, to, you know, all these different people. Like, yeah, I did some stupid things, nothing, like, crazy or anything like that, but, so yeah, my first 2 years weren't very happy. Stevens is a hard school. I'm just going to tell you that right now. That the professors are very good at making you feel like you are not intelligent. So I spent a lot of my time, like, you know, frustrated. I would call my mom home crying all the time. I'd you know, I'd fail a test. You know, I got all A's in high school. I come here, I fail like one of my first tests. I'm like, what is this? Like, so it was just, you know, the perfectionist in me was just like, this isn't good enough. Like, I'm just not happy. So it was the summer after my sophomore year that, you know, I hadn't really been happy in a very long time, and it was just like, this was the worst that it got. That I stayed here for the first summer away from home ever, and I was staying with two of my friends and some other temporary people in our apartment that were staying there over the summer, and it just wasn't a good situation. Some of these people were very negative, like, and it got to the point where I was lashing out at people. I'd become angry. Like, I was jealous. I was jealous of the people around me that had something that I never had, and that was happiness. So it was just, I was rude to people. I was mean. I was, you know, just an angry person all the time. And it finally took one of my best friends that doesn't live here anymore, but he came to me and he was like, Laura, like, I don't think we can be friends anymore. It's like a full-time job to be your friend. Like, you're mean to all my friends. You're just a bad person all the time. And I think that's the lowest point that I have ever hit. And I would not want to wish that feeling on anyone. That I honestly had no reason to live anymore. Like, my friends didn't want to be around me. I wasn't a good influence on anyone's life. Like, I was just making things worse for people. So it didn't take me very long to realize something needed to change. So I had destroyed pretty much all my relationships. My friends were frustrated with me. You know, my mom had been worried about me. She was calling my roommate, and then I got mad about that. You know, like, calling people behind my back to check on me. Like, so horrible. But I just decided things needed to change. I started talking to someone at the school, at Stevens, and someone invited me to church. And it was, well, this church in the old space, but, and I accepted, I went. And it was, I don't know if you guys realize this, but pretty much every Sunday I come in here and I feel like God is telling Chris what to tell me. Like, it's kind of scary, but it was that day that was exactly what I needed to hear. And I was like, you know what, this is where I need to be. So that semester of this past year, my junior year, was, I like to call it cleanup. So I pretty much went around to all my friends, sat them down, and was like, look, I've been a jerk for like the last year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever. Like, I'm really sorry that if I've hurt you in any way, like, I'm doing my best to clean things up right now. And you know what? My good friends, they accepted that. They forgave me, and they were like, you know what? I understand. Like, and they saw the change in me. I think, you know, that's humbling. You have to apologize to people. No one likes to do it. But I think the hardest part were the people that did not accept me. That they were like, you know what, you're just lying. Like, you're just saying this so I won't be mad at you or things can just go back to normal. Like, they didn't forgive me. And to this day, one of the girls that I used to live with, she still thinks I am that person I was 2 years ago. So that was my first semester, and it was hard. So I started picking up more and more things to do at school. It got to the point where people were getting angry at me again, not because of my actions, but because I spread myself so thinly that I was late to this, I was missing meetings, I was doing this. You can ask Charlie, he got a little frustrated with me a few times. But so I think I kind of calmed down, and then this past semester, I figured out my priorities, put them in the right place, and it was just, this is the first time I felt like I've had an actual relationship with God, that I've started to have, you know, conversations. I'm not back to where I probably should be, but, you know, I feel like God is telling me what to do. Like, there'll be a situation where I'll goof, I'll do something wrong, and I'll sit there and I'll pray on it for hours, and I'll be like, you know, what should I do here? And then I'm like, Lord, you're so stupid, so obvious, just apologize or fix it, or, you know. So this past semester has been really interesting for me that, like, I've gotten to that point. I think what makes my story so awkward for me is that I feel like I'm just starting. It was about a month ago that I went home for a week and a half, and I went and I drove my car back up here, and I stopped in Louisville, which is where my dad is living right now, and my grandpa had Alzheimer's, and he was in very late stages, and it got, even like within the last week, like before I even got there, it just went downhill. And it was like something clicked in my mind. I was like, I need to be here for my family. So my friend that was driving up with me, I kind of ditched him all day. And I was hanging out with my family all day doing errands. I would go, you know, I was buying music and movies for my grandma, trying to keep her comforted. You know, this is her husband of 58 years was leaving. And I went to the nursing home with my dad, and it was really scary. Like, you know, my dad, this is his buddy for the last 55 years, was leaving. So I said I wasn't going to cry in this part. But I don't know, just something hit me that I needed to be taking care of the people around me and showing them that I love them, and I would never want them to be in the same kind of pain that I was in. So I came back to Hoboken, and my grandpa died a couple days later, but it was, people saw the change in me. Like, my dad even told my mom, he's like, something's different with Laura. Like, she was just great. She was comforting. She was there for everyone. Like, something's different. And I guess what I realized is that I've been spending the last 21 years of my life for myself, and that from this point on, it needs to be for God. It needs to be for other people. That there was a sermon a couple weeks ago that Chris had about showing people, I think it was Father's Day, that showing people that you're a Christian, and one of them was through priority. So that's been one of the main things that I've been working on is, you know, I need to show people God's love, not necessarily by screaming it in their face, but by showing them that I'll be there for them and that this is my priority. So it's been crazy, and I know it's like I've been tested so much the last month or so that, like, people are, you know, having a bad day or breaking up or something, and they've been coming to me and asking me, you know, can you help me? And I'm like, yes. Like, especially, you know, I'm not in school right now, actually, free time, but this has been something that I really think that needs to be priority, is not me, but showing God's love to other people. So all in all, I don't think I'm 100% happy. Like, I don't think I ever will be. I think it's strongly rooted in my brain that I'm never going to be 100% happy. And talking with my mom yesterday, it's kind of genetic. My dad's the crazy perfectionist that I am, but it won't be as bad. But if I hit rock bottom again, I know that God's going to be there to pick me back up and bring me back to him. So that's my story.
Will you guys pray with me? Father, this morning, the way that you pursue us, even when we walk away from you, is unbelievable and undeniable. And I just pray that as Laura continues down this journey and continues to say yes and continues to seek to love you and to love others, I pray that your love would just continue to wash over her, that every day she would wake up amazed at just how much you care for her and the life that you have in store for her. In Jesus' name. Next, would you guys welcome Brad to the stage? Now, let me say a few things about Brad before Brad begins. Brad saved my life in January, because in January, our church took off. But before January, if you walked into our office, it was me. And when our church took off, there's no way we would have been able to do what we've been able to do if Brad hadn't come along and just served and served and served and gave. And so Brad now works beside me throughout the week, and he's been a huge part of what you guys have been able to see happen here at Hoboken Grace, because he stepped in and just served and given in amazing ways. And he never gets any credit for this, because most of you don't know who he is. He's very quiet and he sticks to himself. And so I'll be like, yeah, Brad did that. And the person I'm talking to will be like, Brad? Who's Brad? And so for all of you who've heard his name, this is Brad. All right?
So I'll turn it over to him.
Thanks. I'm celebrating this morning that God loves me. And I want to tell you my story about how my life's changed, how I've been forgiven, and what God's done for me. But mostly just, I want to tell you how I know that God loves me. That's the most important thing for me. Everything else comes from that. Let me give you a little background to explain why this is so important and why it's really just unbelievable that I can be up here talking about celebration and joy and God's love. The background for my story is depression. Just debilitating recurring depression that I've had for 6 years now. It tells me I'm worthless. It takes away my ability to accomplish, my ability to think, my hope, all of that. And it takes away happiness, and it just leaves pain and emptiness and darkness. And there have been days, weeks even, in the past where I've just wished I was dead, where I'd wake up each morning to a day with no hope, no joy, and go to bed each night to a sleepless night, just wishing the entire time with all my heart that I didn't exist. And so that's the background. And so, like I said, my story starts like 6 years ago. I was having to make choices about what was important to me, what I valued, what I was going to put my hope in. And I'd grown up believing in God, but I'd never really understood that He loved me. And so when it came to what I was going to trust in, I trusted in myself and in relationships that I had with other people and the plans and dreams I had for my life. And so God wasn't the most important thing to me. And eventually there came a point where I had to choose between, on the one hand, following God and having to give up some of these things that I was hoping in, and on the other hand, just keeping going, trusting in myself, in my plans, in these relationships, and sort of avoiding God. And so that's what I did. I went my own way. I turned away from God. And I kept pursuing these other things that I was hoping in. I still sort of acted like I was following God, but I was completely unwilling to give up these things that I hoped in order to let God have control of my life. And I kept going that way for some years. And as that went on, as I pursued these things I wanted and avoided God, and as I battled depression, my life just started falling apart. All of these things that I had hoped in started coming apart. My plans for my future, my dreams, I actually got the dream that I wanted, and it was awful. It was a nightmare. And the purpose that I thought I would have for my life, the meaning I thought I would put in my life, it just disappeared, and that hope just kind of shattered. And the relationships that I was trusting in, I was betrayed by the people that I trusted, and that hope that I had that I would find happiness through other people, that hope was shattered. And the depression continued to worsen to the point where I was just powerless. I was powerless to resist the depression. I was powerless to think straight, to tell the difference between truth and lies. I was powerless to do even the simplest things. I would go to bed one day wondering if the next day I would be able to fill out a job application, wondering if I'd be able to make myself a sandwich, if I'd be able to even get out of bed in the morning. And eventually I had to realize that I couldn't do it. My faith in my own ability to accomplish things was misplaced. And I realized I had nothing left. I had no hope. I had nothing left. And it was then, in desperation, nowhere else to turn, nothing left, that I turned to God. And I just asked him to rescue me, knowing full well that I didn't deserve to be rescued. I was struggling at that point in my life with anger and bitterness over hurts from my past. And looking at that, I started to realize how I had hurt God, how personal it was. And those years that he had offered love to me and I had rejected him and betrayed him, I realized just how awful it was what I had done. And I really didn't think he would forgive me. I didn't think he'd want anything to do with me. I had nothing to offer. And I knew I had hurt him in a way I could never hope to repay. But I had nowhere else to turn, so I just asked him to forgive me and to rescue me. And he did. That's what I'm celebrating. He did. That very day that I asked him for forgiveness, asked him if he would rescue me, he spoke to me, and he told me he forgave me. He told me he loved me. And he said, "Brad, my heart's been breaking for you." And you're standing there thinking that it's because I've wanted certain things from you. But Brad, it's because I've wanted things for you. My heart's been breaking for you because I love you. It's because of what I want for you. I've wanted to give you such good things. I've wanted such an incredible relationship with you, Brad. I've wanted to fulfill the longings of your heart, and you've kept rejecting me and turning away from all these good things I have for you, and turning instead to pain and misery. And I was just stunned by that. I didn't realize before that he loved me like that. I thought it was about what I was supposed to do, I never realized that he loved me like that. And he told me that I was forgiven, that he held nothing against me. He told me that he loved me completely, even though he knew who I was. He knew that I was likely to screw up and probably betray him again in the future. And he said, "I love you anyway." And then he started working. He started giving me blessings. He started transforming me. He gave me his love so I've started to love people in ways I never would have thought possible before. And he's been changing my heart to heal me from hurts in the past and allow me to forgive. He's giving me confidence in him, teaching me to rely on him so I don't have to trust in my own ability, because I know that's going to fail me. And he's changing my focus from myself, to where all my thoughts were about myself, to where my focus is on other people, and on allowing his love to show through to other people. And that's an incredible thing, because in depression, you can't think about anything other than yourself and your own pain. It's just all-consuming. And even in those dark days, God's been working to where he's changing that, to where I can start to care about others even when I'm hurting. And he's been using me when I've been weak like that, when I've had dark days. He's been using me to do awesome things. And that's just an incredible blessing. He's just blessed me so many ways. Relationships in this church, a lot of you here. Just relationships that have helped sustain me through those dark times, people that have prayed for me. He even took away the depression when I couldn't take it anymore. People prayed, and God took that away, gave me a rest and peace. He gave me back laughter that I hadn't seen in years. Laughter and joy, and just used me to do things for him that I never would have thought myself capable of. And he's allowed me to experience him and to feel his presence. And it's just awesome what he's been doing. And not that everything's easy now. I'm still battle depression. There are still weeks that are just black and empty, and I feel alone, and I don't feel like it's enough just to say God loves me. It just doesn't feel like enough, and the depression doesn't lift. Even though I know he loves me, the depression doesn't always lift. The days aren't always easy to get through, but what matters is that he loves me. I have hope now, and it's such a huge difference to have hope, because even when things are darkest now, I know that God's working in me, that he's faithful, and that he's forgiven me, because he's showed me all of that over and over again. And I trust in his plans for me, because, you know, he's shown himself to be good, and I know his plans for me are way better than anything I could imagine for myself. And so if suffering and depression is part of that plan for me, then I'm okay with that, because what he's got for me is worth it. And I know he loves me. He's shown it. And I mean, I really think he's working in me to prepare me, to allow me to take advantage of the opportunities to live for him. And that's just awesome. I'm so excited about that. I'm so thankful that he loves me. And yeah, that's what I'm celebrating. So.
Will you guys pray with me? Father, this morning, I think of what you've done in Brad's life, and I think of the lives who are before us now that are actually impacted because of how you've used him inside of this community. And Father, I just ask that you would continue to open his eyes to just how deep and how wide your love is for him. And Father, we know from your word that it brings incredible joy to your heart when your children stand before you and say, I'll trust you and I'll follow you no matter what, even if it hurts, because I believe that your way is greater than mine. And Father, I pray that you would continue to lead him into the life that you have for him, and that he would experience to the fullest what it means to be your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Oftentimes here at Hoboken Grace, we talk about impacting the community around us. And the crazy thing about this journey, as we're talking about just how personal God's love is for us, is that while he loves you personally, and while he came for you specifically, the truth is, this isn't about us. This isn't about me. This isn't about you. This is about him. And the truth is, as we sit here today and as we celebrate this, the last step on this journey, the last step in this conversation, is not simply about how we can experience God's personal love for us, but about how we can begin to share that love with others. And when we talk about, okay, how are we going to begin to impact the city around us? This is what our city needs. What you just heard today. Because what you just heard today were witnesses. Those who would stand up and say, this is what God's done in me. And that's our mission. That's what we've been commanded to do. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ as he talks to you and as he talks to me. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. For some of you, when you think about this idea of sharing God's love, it's overwhelming. But the truth is, it's exactly what you just saw. And you know what your roommate needs? Your roommate needs to know that it's real. They need to hear your story. You know what your coworker needs? Your coworker needs to know that it's real. They need to hear your story. They need a witness. And this whole thing, it's amazing and it's wonderful. But God doesn't just love me personally. He doesn't just love you personally. He loves your roommate personally. He loves that coworker personally. He loves that family member personally. You may not think that he should, but he does. And as we celebrate today and as we wrap this up, I wanted you to be able to hear these stories because I wanted you to see that this is real. And if you take this seriously, if you make this a priority and you begin to step into this and you begin to run to God and you wrap your arms around him the way that he's wrapping his arms around you, it can do things that you never thought possible. And for some of you, as you sat here today and you heard Brad tell his story, you know what it's like to go through those dark days. You know what it's like to wonder whether or not you're going to be able to get out of bed in the morning. And you think, there's no way this is ever going to change. And you're right. Without God, it's never going to change. But with God, everything changes. Some of you, you hear Laura's story of being driven to perfection, and that's your life. You're driven in your career, and you're working, and you're working, and you're going, and you're going, and it's never good enough, and you're just empty. And God's saying, if you would come to me, if you would let me, I want to wrap my arms around you. This is the relationship that you've been invited into. This is the love that you've been invited into. And I wanted you to see that it's real. But I also wanted you to see the power of a witness. And the fact that if we can begin to share our stories, if we can begin to take these celebrations and take these into our apartment buildings and into our workplaces, the people around you want something real. And that's what this is all about. This is what this is all about. But that's not where today ends. Because the celebration continues. And so if you guys would join me, would you welcome those to the stage who are going to be taking this step of baptism? Today, as we walk through this, before they take this step, what I want to do is I want to take a second to be able to explain to you what this is all about and what this means.
And a couple of weeks ago, I sat down with those who are going to be taking this step, and I explained this very same thing to them and what it means to step into this relationship with God. Because for some of you, you're here and you're hearing about how God loves you and about how God came to bring you back to himself. But you're like, what does all this mean? And so what I want to do is I want to walk you through two passages today inside of God's word to be able to explain what we're celebrating today and what this step is all about. The first one is found in Romans chapter 3. It starts in verse 21, and throughout the first couple chapters of the book of Romans, Paul has been explaining to his readers the fact that all of us are broken, that every single one of us, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter where you've been on your journey, all of us are broken. Every single one of us has done something to hurt those around us, done something to bring pain to the heart of our Creator and our God, the one who's loved us so much. And so in the first three chapters, he's pointing this out, the fact that we've all fallen short of this incredible life, this incredible plan that God had for us. But as he gets to Romans chapter 3, verse 21, all of a sudden it begins to change. And he says this to his readers, he says, "But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago." And what he's saying is, listen, he says, listen, for some of you, you think, okay, I'm just going to be good enough. I realize that I'm broken. I realize that I've hurt those around me. I realize that I've brought pain to other people in my life, but I'm just going to be good enough and I'll just kind of outweigh the bad things that I've done. But Paul says, no, 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 no. None of us are going to be able to do that. That's not the way this works. There's no way you're going to be able to make up for what you've done. That's not what this is about. He says, but God's shown us a new way to be made right with him, a new way to be forgiven. He says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. You see, today, if you're here, it doesn't matter where you are in the journey. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. He says, it doesn't matter who you are. So when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, when you trust what he did on that cross, the fact that he took our sins on himself and he died on that cross, he says every single one of us can be forgiven. He says for all of us have sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He brings us back to purity. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. He says, listen, there's a way for you to be forgiven. There's a way for that loving relationship with God to be restored. And it's not through being good enough. It's through trusting what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And he says, it doesn't matter who you are, you can do this. You can step into this relationship. But it doesn't just stop there. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, we hear this story continuing and we hear even more of what's possible. And in verse 19, he says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Not only are we forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross, but now we actually have access to our God." This loving relationship with God is possible for every single one of us, and there's nothing that stands between us and him. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. And so today, as you see these here taking this step, the step of baptism is a physical symbol of something that's taken place spiritually. And baptism actually didn't begin with the church. For many of us, we don't realize this. We think baptism is kind of a church thing. But baptism isn't a church thing. Baptism existed before Jesus Christ. And baptism was a step that you took when you said, okay, I'm changing direction. I'm changing the way that I'm living my life. I'm going to follow this. This is who I am. You're making a statement about what you believe. Then you would be baptized. And so Jesus took this that was part of his culture, and he said, okay, we're gonna take this to a new level. And so he brings baptism into his followers and what they were proclaiming about what was true. He said, but we're going to give it a whole new meaning. Because in this step of baptism, we see this incredible picture of what's happened for every single one of us. The fact that, you know what, once I was broken, once I was guilty, once I had no right to be able to walk into the presence of my God, but when Jesus Christ died on that cross, my sins, everything that was broken about me, I died with him. And when Jesus Christ rose from that grave, I rose with him. And my faith is in what happened on that cross. I'm not trusting that I'm good enough. I'm not trusting that I can make it on my own. I'm trusting him. And so today, as these guys come, they're coming and they're saying, my faith is in him and him alone. And today I'm going to ask them two different questions. The first question is, do you trust Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone? Is your faith in him and nothing else? And the second question I'm going to ask them is, will you lead wherever he follows? Because this is about a relationship. And about saying, okay, I'm all in. Wherever you take me, God, that's where I want to go. And I want to make something really clear here, guys. These people don't have their lives totally figured out. They don't have everything in place. They're not making all the right decisions. That's not what this is about. Baptism isn't the last step on the journey. Baptism is the first step on the journey. And so when you open up this book and you read through the beginning of the church and you see in Acts, people are coming to know Christ. And when they come to know Christ, the first step that they take is this step of baptism. And it's a step where someone says, okay, I've now made up my mind. This is who I am. And the reason I say that is because some of you are here today and you need to take this step. You've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You're beginning this relationship. But you think, man, I've got to get everything right. I've got to get everything in place. I've got to make sure that I get my life totally cleaned up, and then I can take the step of baptism. That's not how it works with God. How it works with God is God's going to step into your life, and he's going to say, this is what you need to do. And you get to either say yes or no. And for some of you right now, God's saying, you need to take this step. And every time we do a baptism, we open it up because I know that there are others who need to take this step. And for some of you, maybe for the first time, you need to step into this relationship that you heard these guys talking about. You need to place your faith in what Jesus Christ did. You need to give up on the idea that you can be good enough. And you need to begin to run into his arms. You need to begin to follow him and say, oh God, okay, I trust you. If that's you today, John's going to be standing at the back there. And as we go through this, you can go back there. We've got pants for you. You can get changed. You can come up here. You can be baptized right here today. Stop saying no. This isn't the last journey. It's the last step. This is the first step. And for those who are taking this step today, they're here to say, I'm in. This is who I am. And I like to be able to have this conversation with you guys when they're not in the room. Because I want to make sure that we're on the same page as they're taking this step. But because of the way that we do it here, they have to be in the room. Right? But I'm going to tell you something. These guys are going to be baptized, and they're going to go down into the water, and they're going to come up. If you guys are doing this when they come up, I'm going to be very angry. Do you understand how big of a deal this is for those who are taking this step today? Do you understand how huge this is in their life? None of this. A lot of this. This is a celebration and a life-changing day. And so let's make sure that we reflect that when they come out of this water and we cheer them on and we let them know that we're behind them every step of the way and that we're as excited about this as they are. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk in through into this and as we walk through this, I thank you so much for those who've come to take this step. Father, this is all about you. This is all about the relationship that you've invited these into with you, the love that you've shown in their life, and the way that you just continue to draw people back to yourself. Father, I thank you that we're able to be a part of this with them. And I just praise you that this is possible here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's get started. The first one, Ben. How's the temperature?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Ben, today as you take this step, is your faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone?
Yes.
Will you follow wherever he leads?
Yes.
Ben, based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Laura? Laura, today as you take this step, is your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross and that alone?
Yes.
Will you follow wherever he leads?
Yes.
Laura, based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Vanessa. Everybody welcome Vanessa. Vanessa, as you take this step today, is your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross and that alone?
Yes.
And will you follow wherever he leads?
Yes.
Vanessa, based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bella? Everybody welcome Bella. Can everyone see Bella?
I'm proud of her.
I'm really excited. Bella is one of our first little ones to be able to take this
this step, and we've had several conversations over the past couple of weeks to talk through this and to walk through understanding exactly what this means. And so today, as you take this step, Bella,
can you reach?
Is your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross and that alone?
Yes.
And will you follow wherever he leads?
Yes.
Bella, based upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, if you would, welcome Laura. And before Laura takes this step, she actually wants to share with you a little bit of her story as well.
This is really warm. It's nice. Okay, I'm super excited about doing this, so my thoughts are a little bit everywhere, so you'll have to forgive me. But when Chris first asked me to share about how God's love had affected my life, I thought, well, that's pretty much impossible. He's affected my life like so greatly that I couldn't actually put into words for you guys, but I'm going to try. So 5 or 6 years ago, I was not the person that I am today. I was a completely different person, and I was walking in a direction away from God, and I was going pretty quickly. I had an idea of the woman that I wanted to be and the person that I thought I could become, but I didn't believe in myself. I didn't believe that I could do that, and I kind of just settled for what I had. So God had different plans for me, and he pursued me tirelessly and relentlessly, and he put obstacles in my life and things that distracted me, and then he surrounded me by people that loved him and who loved me in a way that they loved me. So I could never have imagined that type of love, and just seeing that little glimmer of love from those people showed me that if that's the way that God loves me, then I could be leading a completely different life. I could be walking in a path with him, and my life could be amazing, and I could become the person that I thought that I wanted to be, that I thought that I could become. So I changed my direction and started walking more quickly in his way, and my life has changed drastically in the past several years, and I am so grateful for his mercy and his grace, because I could never have imagined the person that I am today and from who I was back then. And that's all because of God's love and the joy that he has shown me just in that tiny glimmer of his love. And I feel like he's only touched the iceberg of how much he loves me. There's an immense amount of love that he has for each one of us that we can't even see, and that's an amazing thing to even think about. But I was baptized when I was 7 years old, and for me, I personally don't think I knew the magnitude of the decision I was making. I did it mostly because some of my friends were doing it, and it was the cool thing to do. So I got baptized, and I don't think I really came to know Christ to form a personal relationship with him until I was in college. And when I did form that personal relationship, I turned my life around, but God said, okay, well, get baptized again. And I said, no, I don't need to get baptized again. I was baptized once is enough, done, finished. So I didn't think about it again. But a couple years later, I felt God calling me to get baptized again. And I said, okay, well, now I don't really consider myself to be a new Christian, so I can't do it now. I kind of missed the cutoff on that. so I didn't do it then either. But he's been pursuing me in this for several years, and I felt comfortable enough here to share this with you guys and to be baptized. So this is me dedicating my life to God and telling him that I don't want to walk another path when he's not on it. That's it.
Cool.
Oh, wait. One more thing. sorry, I forgot. I asked my parents to baptize me today because they have been there for me my whole life, and they have supported me through everything, and they saw the woman that I could be when I didn't believe myself. So I asked them to do this for me because it's only fitting.
That's cool. And I actually didn't say that. For some of you are wondering, who are the other people on the other side as we're taking this step of baptism? One of the things that I love to do and that we make a part of our baptisms consistently here at Hoboken Grace is that I always ask the person who's taking this step, who is it that's had a huge impact on your life spiritually? And that's who is on the other side. And so as Laura took the step, her mom was on the other side. And as Bella took the step, her mom was on the other side. And Ben and Vanessa helped with one another as they took that step. And as Laura takes the step, her parents are here as well. And the truth is, for all of us, we've all been given the command to go out and to share the gospel and to baptize. And so I love to be able to give them the chance to be able to realize that they are sharing that. They are impacting lives. And they get the chance to be able to take that step of baptism with this individual. So, based upon what you've said and your profession of faith, is your faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone?
Yes.
And will you follow wherever he leads?
Absolutely.
Based upon that profession, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You guys join me just one last time in praying for these who've taken this step. Father, I thank you so much for all these who are standing here who've taken this step. And Father, the truth is that the celebration here doesn't begin to match the celebration that's taking place in your presence. And what this means to your heart, because you care about each and every one of these personally. And Father, I just pray that they would continue to grow in understanding how incredible that relationship can be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, guys.